Welcome to the first podcast of the online learning environment of the Royal College of General Practitioners. My name is Dr. Doug Pilard, and I'm the Medical Director for e-learning at the College. From time to time, we will be releasing recordings which cover specific modules from the OLE, not only to remind yourself of the excellent content that's on there, but also to hear the authors talk about some of the learning they gained while writing the courses. For the first edition, the team chose the excellent modules on tuberculosis that were produced in partnership with TB Alert, the UK's National Tuberculosis Charity, and Public Health England. They were authored by Dr. Afsana Buya, Dr. Ibero Okereke, and edited by Dr. Ishani Patel, who was kind enough to talk to me about the course on an unsurprisingly rainy Sunday afternoon. On a rather crackly line, we have one of the e-learning fellows of the Royal College of General Practitioners, Dr. Ishani Patel, who's going to talk to us about the TB in primary care module that was done 2 years ago with Public Health England and TB Alert. Ishani, would you be so kind to introduce yourself?
Yes, thank you, Dirk. My name is Dr. Ishani Patel, and I'm a GP in North West London, and I have been the Royal College e-learning fellow for the last 2 to 3 years. I was very excited to work on this project with TB Alert back in 2012.
And this is about 90-minute module on tuberculosis in primary care, which, of course, for you and me, who both work in London, is more frequent than people might think. I understand from the epidemiology figures that the incidence of TB in the UK is actually increasing.
It is. In fact, if you look at the worldwide trends, we see that the amount of rate of TB diagnosis is falling, but in the UK, it's actually on the increase, and we're seeing about 9,000 new cases per year in the UK.
And I believe that the majority of new cases are being detected in new entrants to the UK.
Yep, that's true. We're seeing that over 70% of cases of TB are with patients who are born outside of the UK, mainly Southeast Asia and sub-Saharan countries in Africa, such as Nigeria and Somalia. And we're also seeing a wave of new TB diagnosis in Eastern European migrants also.
Mm-hmm. And for me, as a practicing GP in Tower Hamlets, tuberculosis is obviously something that does happen quite frequently. But what I didn't know is that the incidence of extrapulmonary tuberculosis is actually quite high.
It is. I think the great thing about this course is that it highlights that 50% of cases of TB are extrapulmonary. And I think most GPs would agree we're used to looking for pulmonary cases, so cough, night sweats, weight loss. However, we need to be looking at other systems, such as urinary symptoms, neurological symptoms, because, yes, Dirk, you're right, 50% of cases are extrapulmonary.
And what's the most? What are the most frequent signs of extrapulmonary TB? Can you list a few?
So things to look out for extrapulmonary signs of TB would be enlarging and painful lymph nodes, night sweats and weight loss, ongoing urinary frequency and dysuria with negative urinalysis or negative urine cultures, unexplained constant headaches could be an early sign of TB meningitis, and also to think of TB in patients with HIV who may be presenting with vague non-specific symptoms like malaise and just generally feeling unwell.
So once we suspect tuberculosis in a new patient, MONTU testing is initiated at specialized TB teams, and if found to be positive, treatment is then initiated. But what do you think primary care can do to support TB teams and to support our patients?
Oh, I think the main role of the GP is to really think TB and be aware of TB, because GPs may not have access to direct access to MONTU testing and the IGRA test, which is this interferon gamma release assay test, and those are specialty tests. So I think GPs have an essential role in if they suspect TB or being on the lookout for TB and then doing a prompt referral to TB clinics, and also looking at those who've had contact with TB and thinking of specific patient groups, like, for example, new patients from Southeast Asia or sub-Saharan Africa. And actually NICE produced some guidelines in 2012, which does have a primary care element in there, which GPs can look at for further information.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned contact screening. Would that be done within primary care, or is that being done by the specialist services?
So specialist services do have a responsibility to contact relatives and friends who have been, you know, in close proximity to patients. However, TB clinics may not have as much regular access with patients. I think we will agree, GPs, you know, as GPs, we see our patients probably quite frequently, and we may be aware of people close to our patients who may not have been contacted. So just by asking the patient, you know, have you given your list to the TB clinic, or is anyone else you can think of that should be tested, may be a way of supporting TB clinics to reach everybody.
To avoid significant events with TB medication, I would also always suggest that once they are being started by the TB clinics on new anti-TB antibiotics, it's probably a really good idea to make sure this is being represented in the medication section of your computerized records, because interactions and side effects of TB drugs can be quite common.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And although general practitioners won't be responsible for doing the actual prescribing, of course, there are several risks of interactions and side effects. So read coding is important, adding the list of medications to the medication screen, putting alerts on the patient's notes. All of this can help both the GP and other clinical and non-clinical colleagues to be mindful.
Okay, so after working on this course now for quite some time and having reread it again, what do you think would be the top three things for GPs out there to remember when they're considering TB?
So three ways in which GPs can heavily influence TB outcomes in the UK are, one, to, although it sounds simple, to think TB, to be on the lookout, be on the alert for TB, because that way you can refer patients early into TB clinics and specialist services. And TB is a condition where, if treated early, has very successful outcomes and can reduce avoidable death. So that's the first thing. The second thing is to be mindful about vaccinating the young. We know that the BCG vaccine can offer about 50% protection for about 10 to 15 years. So albeit good for children, it doesn't reduce the number of adults in the UK population that can be affected by TB. And the third thing is something that you mentioned earlier, which is record keeping and looking at potential drug interactions and supporting patients with adverse effects.
Dr. Ishani Patel there. Thank you for listening to the OLE's first podcast. Make sure you stay subscribed to our podcast feed, so you don't miss the Essential Knowledge Updates team next release that's coming soon. This podcast was made with Audacity, the free and open audio editor, and the introductory music was by Matt Bianco from their album Hideaway, who were kind enough to give their permission. My name is Dr. Dirk Pilat. Goodbye.